And now it's time for Madison's Mad Facts with your host, Madison Standish.
It's Madison. Welcome to another Madison on the Air bonus feature of Madison's Mad Facts, where we look at the way things were in real life back during these old-timey radio shows. In June of 2025, we premiered another sci-fi classic, Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. And while it was fun to laugh at all the futuristic advancements 1939 imagined for 500 years into the future, on our Mad Facts, we always focus on modern day to when the show aired. So for this episode, what stood out for me was the 20th and 21st century subway system. If you remember the episode, it was really important to the plot. So we're going to do a brief history of subways. The evolution of what we know today as subways started with shorter tunnel systems dating back to the early 1800s. They weren't full underground transitways, but they did have the same concept: longish tunnels to help take the strain off of freight and passenger transport on the above-ground railways. The first official urban underground railway was the London Underground, which opened in 1863. Unfortunately, the system ran steam engine trains through the underground passageways that, even with extensive vents, they still created a very unhealthy environment for passengers and staff. An attempt to utilize cable-drawn cars or pneumatic-powered trains was implemented between 1863 and 1890, but neither were successful. However, regardless of the smoke, this new and convenient form of urban transportation was instantly popular. The first subway system to open in the United States was in Boston in 1897, known as the Tremont Street Subway. In an attempt to get cable cars off of the crowded city streets, a tunnel system was constructed. This tunnel is the oldest subway tunnel in North America still in operation. To power their trains, Boston used trolleys connected by wires to overhead lines with electrical currents. This was eventually updated for the underground trains, but the overhead power line system is still used by buses and above-ground train systems around the world. Now, it was New York City which would be a major innovator in the subway mass transit systems. The city started with a short 300-foot pneumatic subway system as early as 1870, but would officially open its subway transit in 1904. At the time, it was considered the most beautiful in the world, with extensive use of decorative tile, arched ceilings, and even skylights. The New York City subway would eventually expand into the largest and busiest subway system in the world. But in its beginnings, New York found itself in the middle of the War of the Currents between Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla. Thomas Edison at the time was campaigning for DC, or direct current, electricity systems, while Nikola Tesla advocated for AC, or alternating currents. George Westinghouse, also a prolific inventor and engineer of the era, in the 1800s had invented air brakes used on trains. He moved into the study of electrical current distribution and aligned with Tesla's AC vision. So as the New York City underground subway system took shape, Edison and Westinghouse fought vehemently for their preferred electricity systems. Ultimately, non-railway systems implemented the AC system, while railways utilized the DC system. Power stations were built to generate DC current, and to this day, subway systems around the world convert DC current to power their trains. But how does it work? Trains are fitted with connector shoes, or contact shoes, which connect to the third rail, or connector rail. Usually made of steel or sometimes aluminum, the third rail generates more than 1,500 volts of electricity. And while the smoke from the steam engine subways were a hazard in the early subways, this third rail continues to pose an electrocution hazard even in modern day. Falling onto tracks, or tracks that run at ground level at points along the routes, can be a safety concern to the public. In Chicago, as recently as 1992, a ruling was made against the Chicago Transit Authority to improve their safety measures when an intoxicated man wandered onto some ground-level tracks and was electrocuted while urinating. Ouch. Now, in Buck Rogers, we were in the Philadelphia subway system. Like most mass transit systems of the 1800s and early 1900s, it started as horse-drawn carriages moving passengers through congested parts of the city and advanced to streetcars and ground-level, as well as elevated, train systems until finally an underground transit system was built. What is unique to Philadelphia is their subway system was 100% funded by private capital, not utilizing any public funds for the project. That initial project cost the equivalent of $800 million today. The first official subway tunnel was opened as part of an elevated line in 1907. So, with Buck Rogers getting frozen in the mine in 1919, it was possible he'd have heard of Philadelphia's subway prior to becoming frozen. So what were the subways like at the time Buck Rogers was written? In the 1930s, train cars had features like rattan seats, incandescent light bulbs, and ceiling fans. Ceiling fans. Yeah, that's because there was no AC yet. Imagine a sticky hot New York City summer squeezed in a train car with all those sweaty passengers. But in this Depression era, subways were vital for allowing people to commute farther distances to find work, so they had the ability to get hard-to-come-by jobs. By the 1940s, the subways were still utilizing the original train cars, which were considerably old and rickety. Any plans for expanding subway lines or upgrading cars came to a halt during World War II, when the materials needed for the subways were handed over to the war effort. After the war, going into the 1950s, any budget for the subways was mainly diverted to repairs and overall maintenance, like those old wicker seats beat up from decades of wear and tear. A slow expanse did begin, and riders experienced a combination of old and new features. Plus, 1953 saw the introduction of the first subway token, but with it came a fare price increase to a full 10 cents. Today, across the United States, there are 11 different heavy rail rapid transit systems, as they're also called, consisting of partially or fully underground trains. These systems run in major U.S. cities. The age of the transit system parallels the population growth of the metropolitan areas, the oldest systems being in long-established cities like New York, Boston, and Chicago, while some of the newest subways came about after traffic congestion concerns necessitated their construction. Los Angeles, for example, only began its underground subway system as recently as the 1990s, with current construction and expansion actively underway. What will the future bring to the subway systems? More and more trains are becoming autonomous, being controlled from a central location rather than an engineer on board, and computerization promises more efficiency. New tunneling technologies are being explored to speed up the construction of new or expanded routes, and improved amenities such as elevators, ramps, and real-time information displays make for a better overall passenger experience. But funding, community impact, and safety and security continue to impact the growth of mass rapid transit. Will they be around in the 25th century? Maybe we'll have rocket subways! I'll tell you what we'll definitely still have. Subway rats. Well, I hope you enjoyed my little history dive into Madison's Mad Facts. To get our newest Mad Facts, join our Patreon for only $5 a month. You'll be supporting the show and get some extra bonus goodies, too. Link in the show notes. Okay,